This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station.
For him to want to go battle, you know, some of the guys that he's had to go and take on as a number one receiver, that's a big deal. And so if we had a chance to elevate who we are and how we would go about doing our business, you know, we're going to do that. So we're really pumped to have him here.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
This is worth pointing out. Ohio State ranked number two, but because they would not be a conference champion in this projection, can't be seated in the top four, that would push them down to the spot that Joey said a couple of weeks ago that would be coveted. And, of course, the number one team in the land, the team that beat Ohio State by a single point, the Oregon Ducks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
There was a lot of thorough discussion about both teams and their performances on the field. And so you're right. I mean, those things we took into consideration as a part of the discussion. And ultimately, the vote, when it came out, Ohio State was ranked number two and Georgia was three.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
What is happening?
November 6th, Wednesday. Welcome to NPR.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. How many people are hungover today, you think? A lot of folks out there a little hungover on a Wednesday?
I would say locally in our bubble,
85% of the people.
I had four people that I know of that were like, the drinks just got twice as heavy.
Double pour. We're going four fingers, not two fingers now. Let's add two more fingers on that thing.
And I have no judgment other than, like, in my mind, I went, it's Tuesday, though.
You got to work tomorrow. Have fun with that wake-up call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found myself watching the news till about 10 last night.
So you were fully plugged in.
Fully plugged in, yeah.
So you would know this. I was like, eh. My daughter came home and told me something that I thought was interesting.
Uh-huh.
She said little kids on her bus were calling one candidate the GOAT.
Oh, the GOAT.
Now, which candidate does that come to your mind?
The guy that won, I would imagine.
The guy that won.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, interesting. Okay. And I started feeling a little weird.
That's when it started.
And I'm like, I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, I'm out.
Not going to watch. I told Dirt on Air, I'm not going
to
watch.
Yeah, you held true to your word?
I did. I cooked. I was cleaning. I put Ted Lasso on.
Oh, and that's a feel-good show. I like that. Good call.
Yeah, okay. Somebody I guess had that is a feel-good show. I don't think it is.
I think Ted Lasso is. I mean, I can make it laugh a little bit. Somebody had a tweet that said, I'm going to put on the, the Seven Fishes episode of The Bear to calm me down. I'm a little tense right now. I'm going to put on Seven Fishes. Anybody who knows that episode knows, not a very calming episode, chaotic.
Debatably the most stressful, anxiety-riddled episode of television I've ever watched
45
in my life.
45-minute thrill ride, like you're on a motorcycle and you're not strapped in.
Alcohol abuse. Screaming and yelling,
fighting,
family dysfunction,
cars driving through houses. It's a whole thing.
And then I text you, how should I feel? And you didn't respond right away. I think the gummy had hit. And then I immediately, maybe 5 to 10 minutes after,
I had three people text me unsolicited their reactions to it. And
firing from the hip.
I couldn't help it. I was like, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And then I did it.
You did it.
And I turned it on, and I was like,
you can only avoid for so long. On a night like that, you can only avoid. It's hard. You try and block it out of your mind. It's almost the equivalent of like when you record your sports team in a game. It's almost impossible to go into that to not check the score. And you're still going to end up watching the game, but we all like to say, oh, I'll wait. I'll hold off. I won't watch anything. And then you end up looking at your phone because you can't wait. You want to know what the score is.
And then to about 8:35, I was like, Matt, you know what? I'm not going to keep going. I turned it off. I went upstairs. I helped get my kids into bed and get
ready. Smart call. Smart call there.
You know,
what I learned from 8:30 to 10 p.m. was nothing. Nothing really happened.
Yeah, I figured Pennsylvania
was
going to
take a while. There were already trends, and it was like, and then I found it was like 9:50, and I was laying in bed watching it on my phone. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to go to bed now.
I largely knew what I was going to wake up to, and so I kind of naturally today, I just woke up at 4 a.m. Alarm didn't even have to go off. I just woke up.
I did the same thing.
My wife just woke up, and I opened up Twitter, and I saw exactly what I knew I would see, given everything that we had heard Kornacki and everybody else say as I turned the TV off.
The direction things were going.
And here is my conclusion.
What do you got, Bob?
On a post-election day.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
There's a lot of mixed feelings for people out there. We've got people that are super excited, and we have a lot of people here in our bubble that are not. I learned yesterday, and you can debatably say, Sprague, you should have learned this 4 to 8 to 12 years ago.
Yeah.
True. Good point. I learned yesterday. Yesterday for me was officially the death knell in traditional American media.
Yeah.
Nobody reads news. Nobody follows. Everybody's in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides, but everybody's in a bubble, and their bubble cannot be punctured. They get their news from podcasts, Instagram reels, TikToks, and grainy Facebook videos.
Yes.
That is what you could certainly say you should have already known that. Fair. I was curious to see how it's going to play out yesterday. It played out, and I was confirmed. Yesterday was the death knell of traditional American media.
It definitely feels like it, and it'll never be the same. And I think for a lot of folks, it's hard to wrap your head around that because we did things one way for so long in this country. It was network news at night. It was reading your newspaper. It was, you know, I mean, that listening to the radio. I know talk radio has obviously, you know, boomed in popularity over the last 30 to 40 years. So we've obviously been trending in that direction, but I think that leads to a realization of people on the losing side as well who were in their silos and their bubbles thinking that this is going to go one way, and I know there's no chance, or I know how this is going to happen, and we're all guilty of that. We all follow the news cycle that we want to follow, and we all look for the information in the news that makes us feel good or solidifies our opinions. Everybody is guilty of that, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, and that is not going to change. It's only going to get more entrenched as time goes on, because there's going to be more and more options in new media that will pop up and support whatever you want to hear, and that's what you're going to listen to, and that's what you're going to follow.
I do find it fascinating. I bring this up on occasion to my therapist. I have a lot of people in my life, and I'm certainly not, separate from this in certain times. I find it fascinating how little we want pushback, or we want to be proven wrong or challenged.
Yes.
It's a fascinating thing to me. I was talking with some people this past week, and they were talking about somebody that's attached to one side of the campaign. And they were just talking about how they really liked this person because he did an interview. And I said, did you look up anything
that they said
counteracts what they were saying? And it was largely like crickets. And I thought that was interesting that we're just taking people at gospel now.
Mm-hmm.
If it fits our mindset or our feelings on things.
Or it's what you want to hear.
Or what you want to hear, instead of saying like, okay, I have that information. Now I'm going to see, is there information that opposes that?
Yeah, we don't do that.
We don't do that. And I'm certainly as guilty as anybody. And then I think it's just tiers and levels to it.
It definitely is.
Do you just refuse to ever want to be wrong? Or do you occasionally challenge yourself, or do you challenge yourself all the time?
Right. And can you even have a discourse with somebody who disagrees with you at this point? And I don't I think those days seem almost dead, to be honest with you. The civil discourse and having conversations, that era seems gone from American civilization.
Well, I was talking with a cousin of mine who I would say is more kind of in the middle, leans right traditionally. And he's always talked about how the extremes are the worst possible thing. And you hear people say this, and I tend to agree with it. But one side has leaned in and it's working, and the other side is like, hey, we want the other team on our team too.
We got both sides on our team, man. We got everybody on our squad.
Yeah, I just the way they need to reevaluate. I would say the blue side nationally needs to completely reevaluate how they operate, because it has clearly not worked.
When you lose a heartbreaking football game, what do? You got this is what we talked about.
Does the coach need to be fired?
This is what we talked about.
Who's on the hot seat?
With Penn State on Monday, man. They've lost the same game the same way for how many years? And they refuse to adjust.
Are the Democrats Penn State? I think that's what you're telling me.
That's what we learned last night. You have no vertical passing game. You have a limited quarterback.
Yeah.
It's the same issues you've had for the last 9 years.
Yeah.
You haven't beaten Ohio State since 2016. You've lost every game since then.
Yep.
And it's the same team every year. And at some point, you got to look in the mirror and say, hey, what we're doing is not working.
Yeah.
Maybe we should change something. And I think that is definitely the realization of the losing party last night.
I also wouldn't be overly shocked if Joe Rogan was vice president of the U.S. at some point in my life.
I would not either.
At this point, given...
I would not either.
I guess I underestimated the ability of a podcast guy that does DMT to tell you who to vote for.
Yeah.
Evidently it works.
This is how we roll now, baby. Are you a celebrity? Are you popular? You got big muscles? This is how we're going to fly.
Dana White, Jake Paul, Joe Rogan, Elon Musk.
Yeah, buckle up, everybody.
Vote for this person. You got it, man.
Oh, buddy. What a day. What a day in America, huh?
It was quite a day in America.
We needed more options last night. That was the other frustrating thing.
I told my wife this. I voted for ranked choice voting. One, because I love doing rankings. We'll get to that today.
Who doesn't love ranking 1 through 6?
My wife said, I didn't vote for it. It's too much.
It's too much, yeah.
And I said, well, I would argue that we should be looking into more.
Yeah, we should be diving into that.
We should have two options, and that's it.
You should look into all 9, 10, 11. I think for Portland mayor, how many candidates do we have?
They ended up having like 4 or 5 that got the percentage,
yes.
But it broke down really into
two. Because I live in Portland, and so I had to vote for Portland mayor.
Did you vote for Wilson?
It was overwhelming. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for. It was overwhelming.
For the stripper.
Looking through, and I got the pamphlet to like, all right, here's everybody. And I'm like, look, there's like a two-sided thing. I'm like, holy hell, there's this many people.
Right.
And I had to dive into each and every one of them. A lot of them were like an immediate elimination.
Sure.
Like you're scrolling, you're like, okay, that guy's not up. If some of them didn't even submit like a photo or it was like a grainy photo on the street, you're like, you know what? No, we're going to go ahead and scroll past that one. But it was overwhelming, but also kind of nice to have different options.
The ranked choice voting, though, ended up failing the measure, didn't it?
Did it? I don't know.
I think it failed.
I got to be honest with you, Bob. I didn't check any of the local stuff.
I woke up this morning to check just local stuff.
Very important. Important for us.
And Keith Wilson is our new mayor in Portland.
Keith Wilson ended up winning?
I think he ended up winning.
What happened to 118? Did 118 pass or fail?
Is that the...
That was the give us $1,600.
No, that failed.
Failed.
Miserable.
Miserable fail.
Okay. That didn't have good support on both sides. Like, even progressive parties were like, we didn't... This is not well written.
I owe you a beer. I thought people liked free money and we were going to let that one pass.
I think people were worried about, the
consequences.
Rising rates of corporations who were being taxed suddenly.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Look, it's a weird day for a lot of people, but we've got a lot of sports.
We do. We can yell about different rankings.
Let's yell at each other. Let's just take a reprieve, okay? Let's unplug from all of that. We're going to try.
I'm going to yell at you about Ohio State. How the hell is Ohio State? Right?
I think you are going to yell at me at some point.
I'm definitely going to yell
at you. You came in with the energy of, I have no sleep.
I'm on edge today.
Last night was interesting.
A lot of coffee. Pumped up on caffeine. Wife's working today. I got to go watch Teddy ball game all by myself. I'm going to be exhausted.
First felon in American history to win a presidential election.
Fun fact for you. How about that?
Back to the future, too.
Back to the future.
We have a lot to get to today. Josh Pate on Wednesday. College football playoff rankings will come out. He'll join us at 7:40. It is a loaded show. Dirt and Sprague. We get it going next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, fellas, that's one great job now. One great job. Imposing your will. That was, man, nothing warms the cockles of the heart like going into another man's stadium and imposing your will in an effort.
Nothing warms the cockles of the heart. Dirt.
Nothing.
Like
nothing.
Imposing your will in another man's stadium.
I love that guy, dude. I don't know if there's anybody in sports that I love more than Jim Harbaugh. He makes no sense. I don't know if he knows what planet he is on half the time. He did an interview with Colin 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And he had some of the funniest lines in there about his feeling about Justin Herbert and how tough he is.
Yep.
And he just kept ranting and raving. I love me some Jim Harbaugh, man.
They showed his turnarounds basically at the Niners. I mean, they didn't throw Stanford in this, but
they
should have. But they showed the Niners, Michigan, and Chargers. And you said it yesterday because we did NFL Factoid Tuesday. And we got NFL Zigger Zag today at 6:45.
Yes, we do.
They showed his turnarounds from what they were a year prior and then his first year. I remember as a Niner fan, they went from like a 7-win season, then they won 13, and I was like blown away. I could not believe how much better they were.
Would have been in the Super Bowl if they could catch a punt.
Michigan didn't start out great for them, largely because he didn't beat Ohio State, but people forget like instant boost in what they were.
They were winning 10 games. The only down year he had that, like, to the COVID year was the bad year.
The COVID doesn't count.
And the year
anybody
leading into the COVID year was the only one where you're like, is he slipping a little bit? But he came in immediately and started winning 10 games. And he should have won one of those Ohio State games. They got hosed on a fourth down call.
The
and there was a whole review,
yeah,
the spot. That very controversial ending.
Do you know how COVID doesn't count? We need to stop, like, counting COVID when we talk about coaches. Mel Tucker was good during COVID.
That he was.
So
that he was 10
and 2. Tells me all I need to know.
Yeah, he had a good run.
And then year one with the Chargers, I think you highlighted this yesterday. They won 5 games last year.
Yeah.
They're 5-3.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
They were 5-12 last year. He's 5-3 now.
They have the number one scoring defense in the NFL, and you gave that stat during Factoids yesterday. In the last 4 years previous, they were 25-30 range, somewhere in that mix in the NFL.
That's how they're winning games, is their defense.
Yeah, their defense has been unbelievable. Part of that is who they've played, and they've gotten the benefit of seeing some bad offenses. There's no doubt about that. But it is remarkable to think about their group on that side of the ball. Like, what wholesale change did the Chargers make on defense? What new faces did they bring in that I'm not aware? Derwin James, Bosa, like, it's almost the exact same group that they had a year ago.
Yeah.
That is now the number one scoring defense in the NFL.
It's crazy.
And so if you ever want that thought of, like, does coaching matter? Does, you know,
their
if we hire the right
coach
guy?
Was a defensive coordinator.
That's why
that's
they hired him.
Bones.
And how's the 49ers defense look this year? Where he is? It's just,
he's an assistant. He's not the DC.
Yeah. I get it. I know. It's just, it's not like there's been wholesale changes. I mean, they added to the offensive line. They lost a couple of weapons on the other side of the ball, Dobbins and all that, but
yep,
on defense, man, it is largely the same group. And do I think they're the best defense in the NFL? No, I think that's a bit of a misleading stat, but the fact remains they were in the bottom tier of the league for the last 4 years. Now they're number one in scoring defense, and it's giving them a chance to win every game, or at times, despite how good Herbert has been, their offense is limited because of who they have at wide receiver, and if you could bottle up the run game, it becomes a little bit easier to stop them. They're still 5-3. By the way, they get the Titans this weekend. So they will likely
They're going to win that game. They will be six and three on Monday. Yeah, spare me the likely. I might hammer the Chargers to win that game. I've seen the Titans play football.
It's 7.5 is the line.
The Titans just won a game. Like, they're happy for the rest of the year by winning that game.
They used their one win up.
Were you surprised they did nothing in the trade deadline? They didn't add a weapon. I'm kind of confused by this. And maybe as you've highlighted this, Swag is now a Bolts fan. Maybe you're right. And they're winning. They're 5-3. They're second in the division. They've beaten the Broncos. I believe they've beaten the Raiders.
Yeah, they beat the Raiders.
Maybe they're just looking at their salary cap and they're like, let's just get through year one. We're going to take our step. We're going to be the 6th or 7th seed. We're going to make the playoffs. That'll be good enough. Hopefully we win a game. But if we don't, we took a good step. And then they make the moves. But I've been a little surprised. Their reluctance to go add a piece. Like Jonathan Mingo... I don't know what the Cowboys are doing. I saw a good point on ESPN that...
I mean, that made no sense.
They are very... Talk about being disassociated with reality.
The Cowboys are disassociated with reality.
Jerry Jones, I'm not sure... Does he have dyslexia? I think he's seeing the record backwards.
They traded more for Mingo than they got for Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... That's the second time that happened. When they traded... Or when Amari Cooper got dealt to Buffalo, they got more for him. Cleveland got more for him than Dallas did. And he's, what, 3 years older than he was when they made that trade? Like... Makes literally no sense.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen them add a weapon. The only thing that I would say was outside of Mingo and Amari Cooper was obviously already off the market. When did that trade go down? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of it. Like, did any other wide receivers get traded that I was aware
of? Deontay Johnson. Would he have been a good pickup for them?
I feel like
Mike Williams went to the Steelers.
You're not going to bring Mike Williams. I mean, I don't think they're going to bring him back. That one doesn't make a lot of sense to me. He's been a disaster in New York. Deontay Johnson is fine. I think
any weapon at all, would it have been a good move for them given what they've been
the
so far?
The only thing that I would have advocated was if there was a guy like T. Higgins on the market that you could circle and say he could legitimately be a number one wide receiver in our offense, and it would have been a bigger capital to go get him, that would have been the only one that would have made sense to me. Like, I feel like they already have 7 Deontay Johnsons on their roster.
Yeah,
their entire receiving core is small Deontay Johnsons.
Somebody just for the final stretch drive, because I don't...
You were fine with them doing nothing then.
The other thing I would ask
if there was somebody that they saw as part of the picture going forward, but most of the... Like he said, if T. Higgins was going to be dealt, okay, I can see him on the roster for another year, somebody you want to sign, but just to bring somebody in... The fact that I think Quentin Johnson, they finally developed some chemistry in the last game. If they can develop him where he's
had a good year from what he was last year,
going to
drop,
be but... what they hoped he would be in the future, then that might be as good, you know, as anything you're going to get a Deontay Johnson or whatever. I think they're still early.
Are you okay?
Huh?
Are you okay?
Your voice sounds like you're...
I'm fine.
Is it a late night for Swigard?
No, it wasn't. I went to bed early.
Oh, it feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I was knee deep in game prep, and the Kraken game was nothing to write home about. So there you go. Went to bed early.
Here's what I would say too about their offseason. I believe that I'm correct on this.
Yeah.
That I think they have an out, and I don't know if they want to get out of it or not, but they have the ability to get out of Joey Bosa's deal this offseason. And his cap hit this year is about $27 million.
They need to get out of
that. Next year, it's $37 million, and so they can get out of that. And Khalil Mack is on a one-year deal where his cap hit's about $26 million. So the only thing I would add there is, I was frustrated a week ago when I saw Amari Cooper get dealt, because that, to me, felt like the kind of guy, if you put him in that offense, like, all right, I could see something there. And what did he get traded for? A third-round pick? Is that what Buffalo gave up, if I remember correctly?
I believe that is correct.
So it's like, all right, a third-round pick for Amari Cooper, why are you not making that move? But the other guys that ended up getting dealt, I'm not losing sleep over.
I just don't think the Chargers are going to make a run to the AFC title, like, on the verge. They're not one player away.
No, I wouldn't put them ahead of Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, honestly.
Can I ask you guys this real quick?
And they might have cap space, to my point, this offseason, where they could go spend.
Draft capital for them is...
It's valuable.
Yeah,
Harbaugh's years in the Niners, they were very good at evaluating talent. I want to ask you, so I'll push back a little bit here. I don't watch the Chargers and say better than Baltimore, better than Buffalo. But what I would say, though, is I also didn't expect the Niners in year one with Harbaugh to get to the NFC Championship game.
No, that was a shock.
And football, as we are selling on our fan merch locker, is football. And so if you tell me, by the way, who did Lamar lose to in his first playoff game, the year he filled in for Flacco?
Chargers.
So, like, if you told me that that number one scoring defense has a day, and Herbert, who's been pretty good, hasn't turned the ball over, and they're playing Harbaugh-style football, I will push back a little bit on the idea that they can't, because I've seen stupid things in football happen before.
Totally fair.
And so that's why I'm largely...
The Titans made it to an AFC title game a couple years ago with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry running the
But I would say the formula for the Chargers that would allow them to go on that run is already there.
Yeah, and that's where I agree with you. I don't know, outside again of Amari Cooper.
Now, if they went and got a Lattimore and really shored up, that gave him one more on defense, then you're like, okay.
Yeah, but you can go both sides of the ball. You can play offense or defense.
They flirted with Lattimore, it sounded like, yesterday. They kicked the tires on that one before he ended up getting traded.
Yeah,
so decided not to do it.
But I think their formula, if they're going to make a run, it will be more based on the defense being dominant and the offense not making mistakes.
Which they're not doing this year.
To the offense lighting somebody up.
By the way, the Bills received Cooper and a 2025 sixth-round draft pick for the third pick in this year's draft and the seventh-round selection in 26.
Okay.
So, exchange of some draft picks with Cooper.
For a third-round pick.
Yeah,
you could have made that. That was the one I would have done if I were the Chargers.
I'll go look at Amari's stat line so far, and it's early, so he needs to learn the playbook.
But he didn't even end up playing this week either. He ended up being out. Which
but I think he has what? Does he have three catches?
He didn't do he was only played in one game, I believe, to this point, right? Because he got dealt, played the one game, and then he was out this last weekend. And as a Bills gambler, that would have been nice to know before I locked that bet in. I found that out Sunday morning, so that was wonderful news. Great, their new number one wide receiver is not going to play. And then Keon Coleman let a ball go through his hands for an interception at the goal line. Thank you, Buffalo.
Wanted to bring back some Harbaugh audio that we didn't get to yesterday. The cuckles of the heart.
I mean, it just does. It warms it up, man. And their schedule the rest of the way, I brought this up a couple weeks ago, it's manageable. The Cincinnati game in a couple weeks got flexed into Sunday night. Thank God. That should be a fun matchup. Herbert versus Burrow in L.A. So you got them. You got Tennessee at home this weekend. So you got a chance to get to 6-3. Cincinnati is a winnable game. Their defense is atrocious. And the back end of it is incredibly easy, too, where you're closing four games are at home against Tampa, at home against Denver, at New England, and at the Raiders. Those are your last four games of the year. This got a great chance to be a playoff team.
We'll get to NFL Zigger Zag at 6:45. Of course, we will talk about the college football playoff rankings. We got audio from that. Your Ducks are number one in the first set of rankings, to no shocking development.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
We'll compare our ranking from yesterday to how they compared to the committee's ranking, which didn't change from the AP outside of one team flipping another team.
They really did their research this year. Really did well.
This is why they need to be releasing these early. They're cheating, and then they're acting like that other poll doesn't matter. It's ridiculous. So we'll get to all of that. Josh paid at 7:40 today. Durant's break back with more. But I don't know how to tell you this, so I'm just going to say it. I got turned on looking at a college football playoff bracket yesterday, and I need Colorado in that thing in the worst possible way.
Do you believe now? Do you believe?
I need to believe. I need Shador. I need Travis Hunter.
The cinema that would be.
I need Prime at Penn State to beat James. I don't care how many of you people hate Deion Sanders in Colorado. I would debate. Hasn't really been in your life. They haven't gone there for a pregame thing. I think Hunter's done one thing.
No.
They're not getting any attention, and they could very well lose to Texas Tech this weekend.
Yes, they could.
But I'm sitting on my couch yesterday. I'm trying to ignore politics. It's not my favorite thing. I hate it. And I'm watching this show, and I'm seeing this bracket.
Getting angrier and angrier and happier and happier.
And I kept thinking, and I'm going to throw this at Pate. How do you not look at that bracket and go, oh, God, this is great. This is so good. And we'll get to it. We'll argue and debate. I need Colorado in that. I need them to win. I need to see the Buffs in my bracket.
It has been, I don't know if I've ever done a 180 more from a year to another year on a guy. Deion Sanders has been awesome this year. He's not flamboyant. He's not running his mouth when they're losing every game by 40 points. It's not, you know, calling out the media and targeting them for not writing only positive puff pieces on him. And why would anybody push back? Like, you had that in the preseason. There was some of that where he shut out a CBS reporter, or there was a local columnist who we wouldn't answer questions from anymore. And we rolled our eyes and we talked about it when it happened. The season started and they've just shut up and gone about business. They're winning football games and they're relevant this year. That's the whole thing. It just last year, I think it was such a frustration of the amount of attention that they got when there were so many great stories around the sport that deserved eyeballs and deserved conversations that were actually winning games. And when Colorado lost 7 of their last 8, eventually the steam ran out. They've been awesome this year, man. And when you win, you get the credit. And they're having a really good season this year. They have a legitimate chance to win the Big 12. I had the same exact reaction you did yesterday watching that.
Did you?
Like, we're going to yell about certain rankings because some of it doesn't make sense.
I don't know if we will. It's the first set, so I don't think we will.
There is nothing that I enjoy more than yelling on the Wednesday show after the Tuesday rankings come out about why certain teams, like, none of it makes sense. We just make it up as we go every year.
Sure.
How many teams would you say right now, and this was the realization I had last night, mm-hmm. and I think it's gone perfectly in year one, are legitimately alive in the playoff race? Like, you could mention Colorado. They're legitimately alive. Colorado's ranked 20th.
Yeah.
And they're legitimately alive to make the college football playoff. Pitt's still alive in the ACC. Iowa State's still alive. Ole Miss, like, you go down essentially.
Kansas State is still alive, and they just lost to Houston.
Clemson's still alive, and they just got blown out at home by Louisville. But they could win they only have one conference loss. They could technically still win the ACC, depending on how the year ends. Like, you're legitimately looking at the top 25 almost entirely having a shot at making this thing. And that was the whole argument. Whether you like it or not, when we went to a 4-team playoff, it made every other postseason thing irrelevant in the sport. Mm-hmm. Guys didn't want to play in bowl games. They opted out of New Year's Six games. Like, all of it became irrelevant. And so one of the most entertaining regular season sports we've ever had, it was a question of how do we keep more people engaged and keep more people excited in throughout the course of the end of the regular season. If you had a 4-team playoff right now, you're looking at maybe 7 or 8 teams that have a legit, like BYU's probably not going to get in. They left out undefeated Florida State last year. Indiana with one loss, you're gone. You have no chance.
If it's a 4-team, it's a buzz.
4-team, you're looking at Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, Texas, probably not Penn State anymore because they likely can't win the Big Ten. Like, you're talking 6 or 7 teams that maybe have a shot and that's it. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're looking at the entire top 25, and that is awesome.
Well, and I know eventually, if we're not there yet, we will be in a year or two, that it's going to turn into, well, like, who's going to win the title? Or you make the playoff. Penn State's probably going to have this. Well, we can't win a national championship. Well, you've been to the playoff for 3 straight years. That doesn't matter. I want a daddy.
Right.
Like, we're going to eventually not care about making the playoff. I would argue that's ridiculous. Now, I'll debate people on Franklin, how good a coach he is, where that scale is. But, like, I think, personally, just making the playoff is awesome. And I think being involved in a playoff, it makes it fun. It makes it interesting.
Especially for the first year. Like, this is going to be a historic thing.
And to your point, how many teams not in the current playoff are sitting just outside with still an ability to control their destiny to make the playoff?
I mean, so many of those teams are still alive in the SEC race and the ACC. Like, SMU, I think, is technically just outside. Alive in the ACC.
Yeah, they were. I think they were behind A&M. They're the two teams that were. I
like
first how ESPN
two out
did
or whatever.
Yeah.
First two in, first two out. Like the NCAA tournament. Ole Miss. If Ole Miss beats Georgia this weekend,
right?
They got a pathway to win the SEC.
They're jumping way up.
You're alive. I mentioned Iowa State, LSU. If they beat Alabama this weekend, they got a legitimate shot. Texas A&M, who we mentioned, they only have one conference loss so far, and they got a manageable schedule the rest of the way. Like, having that belief and that hope alive for so many fan bases around the country is what the sport needed, because there did become an aspect of, and I've been guilty of this too in times in Oregon seasons, and I know people who haven't accomplished what Oregon has accomplished laugh and scold at that, but I'll go back to the year that they won the Rose Bowl. The devastation of when they lost to Arizona State late in that season and ended up going 10-2 after the opening loss to Auburn, and that feeling of you can't go to the playoff, and winning a Rose Bowl is incredible, and Oregon's had the chance to do it multiple times. It's not the same. It just isn't, and it's a lesser than reward.
When it's not a playoff game, nobody cares.
It doesn't matter, and you didn't even play the Big Ten champ. You played like the third place team in the Big Ten because Ohio State won the conference, and they were in the playoff, and so it was you won the conference, but it was the secondary team from the Big Ten. Like, it just doesn't hold the same weight, and so I could not be more thrilled with the format they came up with and the pathways that all these teams have and the hope that exists in the fan base. It's exactly what the sport needed.
Swag, did you watch the college football playoff ranking release?
I did, start to finish.
I want to shout out our friend, our good friend, Heather Denich. some TV, some solid TV time last night.
She was all over, man.
A-plus outfit, too. She was dialed. She was ready to go yesterday.
This is her Super Bowl.
I know.
She covers the committee and the rankings. And
we're hoping. We got our fingers crossed we get her this week, but we're not sure.
Yeah. First week of rankings might be tough.
It's tough.
Took our shot, though. You got to shoot your shot.
Okay. There's a whole process to get through ESPN.
ESPN has a process, yes.
I have a process, but I found it's easier to play by their rules that eventually it will be in your benefit.
Were you as turned on looking at that bracket as I was? Just thinking about the idea of the home games in the first round and then who gets who in the second, potentially.
Yeah, Boise State, Ohio State, and then Alabama, Texas.
Just the idea of it. I don't think I don't think those matchups are going to hold. I think this is going to be a drastically different final ranking. But I also was thinking about this with what Dirt has set off.
When they put the graphic up that showed how many teams from each, the SEC and the Big Ten are running college sports.
We already knew that, though.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
That's
what the playoff will be. It'll be four from one and four from the other. And
absolutely.
You got to win your conference in the ACC or the Big 12 to have a guaranteed.
The big test will be if it could happen in the SEC. But if it happens, I think the ACC's the big test. If Miami's undefeated and they're up amongst the top five in the final rankings going into conference tournaments or conference championship games, and they get upset by Clemson or whoever's still in it, and there's two losses, will Miami still be able to get in? That's the question I have.
Well, I kept thinking, too.
If BYU gets upset in the Big 12 title game, and that's their only loss.
They should make it.
Are they still in? And Heather Dennis, we're talking about two lost teams, but we got a clip. You need to be on the lookout for what may be coming down the pike.
I'm trying to look at this. So I took a screenshot of it. The strength of schedule rankings for the top 12. So I'm looking. I think BYU has the third worst strength of schedule of teams in the top 12.
Yeah, Indiana's the worst.
Is atrocious.
It will get better with Ohio State. Yeah,
the BYU one
better.
Is interesting to me.
And
though,
Notre Dame's is not good.
Notre Dame's isn't that great either.
No, we knew that about Notre Dame coming into the year.
Which makes the loss to Northern Illinois, I think, worse, but it's Notre Dame.
Well, the tough part for them is their win over Texas A&M has aged perfectly.
That's
the way this stuff works, right? You win that game, A&M was just recently in the top 10. They're just outside the top 10. Yes, it might crumble, right? Who knows how it looks at the end of the year. But as of now, it's one of the better wins, and it was on the road on top of it. What I was reminded of, too, looking at, because the mock bracket you would have, your first-round games would be Indiana at Tennessee, Boise State at Ohio State, Alabama at Texas, and Notre Dame at Penn State. Those would be your first-round games. I was just simply reminded of how much of this will be impacted by your pathway and where you are seated. And we do this a lot in the NCAA tournament, right, where you could be a number one seed, but you look at your region and you're like, oh, my God, we got to get through X, Y, and Z just to get to a Final Four, but this team only has to play this squad and this squad. Like, Ohio's in this mock bracket, these would be Ohio State's first two games. They would host Boise State.
They will win.
And then they would play BYU.
And they would win.
Those are your two games to get to a Final Four.
Yes.
And it's funny
how I was going to say that.
So much is going to depend on who you're seated with and what side of the bracket you're on and what matchups you get, because we can debate the metrics of where these teams should be ranked, and that's totally fair and valid, and I can't wait to yell about it. We know that some of them are just not quite on the same level as others. Upsets happen. It's football. Football is football, as they say. But there will be easier pathways than others in this new playoff
format. I was going to say that is... The five seed is secretly
the best seed
to have.
Best seed.
Like, debatably the best seed of all of it. And that's crazy to say because you have a 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Part of me almost...
get to host a home playoff game, which is... That's so kick-ass.
Yeah, the only down part is you have one more game...
You don't have a bye.
...put your team at risk for suffering a key injury.
Sure. And then you win that game, you may take... You're going to take on the 4 seed, which is probably going to be
the ACC or Big
12.
And that'll be at a neutral site.
At a neutral site.
Yes.
Your fans can
It'll
win
It'll definitely
that.
Be the ACC or Big 12 champ.
So, yeah, and then you're in the semis. And at that point... If you're healthy,
there you go.
It's all crapshoot. So
I thought about that last night, thinking about a Big Ten title game, and I want Oregon to win the Big Ten title. They got to get there, but I want them to win the Big Ten in the first year. Loss would not be the worst thing, man. it honestly wouldn't.
We'll get to this at the top of the hour. NFL Zigger Zag is next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:49 on The Fan. We have the college football playoff yelling to do at 7 a.m. The Ducks are number one in the poll. The ranking? Yeah, the ranking. Not a
ranking.
Poll.
Poll. Ranking. Same
but
thing.
We use the poll for the ranking because they cheated and they can't watch every game because they're liars.
Yeah.
Ranking. We'll get to that. I also have Vegas odds with some of these matchups. I'm curious where you think some of the numbers would be in these first round games.
I like that.
Before we do that, let's get to NFL Zig or Zag. It's Wednesday, 6:45. I am going to start with a one I noted this yesterday and wanted to throw at you. Denver, Buffalo, Carolina, Vegas, Chargers, Cleveland, Houston, Pittsburgh, Denver. Okay, that's a lot of teams I threw at you.
Threw a lot at me right there.
That's the remaining schedule of the Kansas City Chiefs, who have won 14 straight games going back to last season. They got an Ichiro hitting streak thing going where they end well and we pick it up, but some of us don't count it. Zig or zag, the Chiefs are going to go undefeated this year. I feel like they're playing, and that's their chip. They want to win it, but they're using the season as motivation, saying, no, we're unstoppable.
Let's do something.
Let's do something nobody's ever done.
I mean, we saw New England obviously do it in the regular season, and then it come crashing to a halt in the Super Bowl. I'm going to zag on that just because of the fact that they have not, you know, when you go back to the, 2007 New England went undefeated?
Mm-hmm.
There was a real idea of why every time I watched them play, I had the thought nobody can beat these guys. Like, they just look so head and shoulders above everybody. Randy Moss in that, like, it just, this is unstoppable. Kansas City is unquestionably the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They are going to win another Super Bowl. It's going to drive me crazy, and I'm going to be miserable the entire time it happens. Three in a row sucks, and I hate being an NFL fan, to be honest with you, right now. We had a 20-year Brady dynasty and thought we're never going to see this again. Now we're about to watch a guy win his third in a row.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I will zag on that. They have eked out far too many wins for me to say that's going to happen every single, like at Buffalo. The Chargers damn near beat them a couple of weeks ago. Cold weather games late in the season. I highly doubt that happened, so I'm going to zag on that.
The Patriots in 07 had three regular season games that were within 4 points.
Three in the regular season?
Yeah, they beat the Colts 24-20 at Indy. They won against Philly 31-28. And they beat Baltimore 27-24.
Yeah, and you go through the Chargers, or excuse me, the Chiefs this year, and how many of their, I mean, the Bengals game, the Ravens game on opening night came down to a toe.
Well, if I use the
Chargers
same metric,
game was a touchdown
four or
game.
Less?
Four or less, yeah. There's probably not one. A lot of them. Yeah.
There's one.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. This was said by Dan Orlovsky on ESPN NFL Live. The Commanders made a trade for Marcus Lattimore in their secondary. Here's Dan Orlovsky.
You don't make this move if you're Washington and Adam Peters and Dan Quinn unless you sit there and go, all right, we got a chance to win our division. We're good enough offensively. Okay, what do we have to do? Well, we're going to have to cover. Okay, Philadelphia's got two really good receivers. Got to do that. Detroit, two really good receivers. Okay, we got to lock them down. Los Angeles, two really good. Atlanta, all right, we got to get a cover corner. And that's exactly what this is. You don't make this move unless you legitimately think that you can make a deep playoff run.
Zig or zag, with this addition of Marcus Lattimore dirt, the Washington Commanders are a legitimate contender.
To win the Super Bowl, to win the NFC, what level of contender are we talking about here?
Let's keep it in conference.
And to win the NFC?
Let's keep it in conference.
I'll zig on it.
You're buying the rookie quarterback.
I'm buying the rookie quarterback. Primarily because I look at their division. Now, to be fair, they have not played Philadelphia yet. And Philadelphia is the only contender that they have right now. Dallas is done. The Giants are a dumpster. Like, we know what that division is going to look like. Philly is a bit clunky at times. And I don't know if their head coach is going to get in the way of them realizing their goals and expectations. But because they have a chance to win their division and because of how little I respect the rest of the NFC, I have to zig on that. Lattimore is one of the best corners in the league. Hmm. Their offense has been great. They're kind of looking for one of those quality wins of like, hey, you toppled an elite team. When they played the Ravens, it wasn't necessarily that close if I remember that game specifically. So I'm looking for one of those. But as of right now, looking at the NFC, I have to zig on that.
CBS Sports labeled the Lions as the big trade deadline winner, writing that the Lions are arguably the best team in the NFL. An addition of defensive end was needed. Dirt Zigger Zag with the defensive line helped the Lions, and Man Campbell won the deadline.
I will zig on that. They desperately needed a pass rusher to replace Hutchinson, who's out for the year. They got a good one, and I got no issue with that trade. Very smart on their part. You knew they would get it done, and they did. So I'll zig on that.
Let's go to the final one, to Cincinnati, where yesterday, because we have a big Thursday night football game.
We do.
Bengals at Ravens.
Fun little game.
Fun little game. Short week. And Ja'Marr Chase was asked about studying on a short week for a team like Baltimore.
I didn't study in school. it's a lot, you know, but you just gotta stay focused, you know what I'm saying? You just gotta really lock in right now. We get a little break time before we start, Friday? You know what I'm saying? Friday's practice. So, just gotta stay locked in when we're on the field and just pay attention. But when we get the break time, then we can do whatever.
Dirt, zigger zag. The Bengals with a win on Thursday, they step into the contenders category.
I'm going to zag on that. I think their defense is too big of an issue that I can't believe. And Burrow is having an incredible year. Their defense in big games cannot stop a nosebleed. And so they can win a shootout here or there. I think they're alive in the playoff race. I think they're already there, whether they win or lose. On Thursday, a win would definitely help their chances. But to be a contender, you have to be a complete football team. They are not a complete football team right now, despite how good Burrow's been. So I'll zag on that.
All right, there we go. NFL Zigger Zag every Wednesday at 6:45. Loaded second hour of the show. The Ducks are ranked number one, and Josh Pate at 7:40. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.